D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
There it is. Welcome in. Another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live at the SEC Sports Pub with me, as usual, except for last week. To my right, Heath Elsenson, back from his hiatus. To my left, Tomas Mauricio, Tyler Kissner on the board. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know about. So from Rustin Monroe, former Villa Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're going to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer podcast. Dang it, got it wrong. I was killing it for a second. I was killing it.
You were doing
it
too good.
Yeah,
too
we're going to do the 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and SEC Sports Pub, BS and Beer style.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, listen, despite all my difficulties and failures, the Saints, much more successful Sunday night
yes.
against the Vikings, winning 30-20 against, listen, I think we have a new kind of team now. I mean, have they picked up a new identity? The Saints are now a smash-mouth, run-it-down-your-throat kind of team.
I thought they were a finesse team.
No, well, that's I think, you know, I don't know, man. I don't think so anymore.
No.
I think they've lost that identity.
No. They have a lot of finesse to their smash-mouthness.
I took note of a couple of stats. Three of the top five passers this weekend lost. Five of the five top receivers lost. But five of five top running backs all won.
Wow.
So if that doesn't tell you a little bit of what the Saints must have saw the same thing I said or saw, and now they're trying to do it. So
Seesaw.
Yeah. Sell seashells by the seashore.
Exactly.
So much for the passing league, huh?
Yeah, that's it. So much for it. It's out. It's gone. You know, it's back to the smash mouth. But listen, we are playing a new type of football that we're winning consistently, playing this football game where, you know, Drew Brees passed for about 120 yards.
I know.
Anybody at this table, and be honest, all of you guys out there listening, did any of you think that if someone would have told you Saturday afternoon Drew Brees is going to have 120 yards passing, I do not think you would say we won that game.
I would have said that's not possible, period.
Right.
But, yes, definitely.
Yeah,
would
I mean,
not have won if it was real.
I can see a bunch of scenarios where, yeah, it's not possible because if you lost – there's no way Drew Brees goes out 120 yards if they're losing. And, I mean, one way or another, he's going to get his in an attempt to come back. So, you know,
well,
you almost
you that's a good point, yeah. So, you almost have to guess that they did win the game. If
After I thought about it for a second, that's where I was going with it. Yeah. So,
or something went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Tomas, before we get into all the Saints stuff, I know you were coming, you came into the studio all excited. This week, Tuesday, I mean, there was a ton of NFL trades and moves.
Yeah, we'll
and
talk about it in a while. Yeah.
Some that will affect the Saints. You know, have a couple of guys that pretty good ball players that will be playing against the Saints. And matter of fact, including one of them, Dante Fowler, got traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Rams.
Right.
So I'd imagine he'd be ready to play. Having said that,
no.
I don't think he's done much, you know.
Yeah,
no prep
he hasn't done much in his career. So I don't think there's going to be a huge effect.
Oh, wait, he's the number effect. One draft choice. What are you
talking about? When I heard his name, I'm like,
Apple's
I remember.
Number one draft choice.
That's right.
Yep.
But
I mean,
obviously, after this game, you see Eli was worth
it. Wasn't Crawley number one draft choice, too?
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe in a fantasy league or something. I don't know.
And
I'm not talking about fantasy football. Some.
Yeah,
anyway,
right.
I think we'll
Heath
talk about
be more
that.
More familiar about that.
We'll talk more about
okay.
it. We didn't get to watch the game with you. Because it was Sunday night, and if it's Sunday night or Monday night, you like to watch it at the foot of your bed so you can hop into bed and be up at the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I am.
No, I'm not kidding.
You ask our producer over there. I see him every once in a while.
Yeah.
Tyler's like, hey, how are you? It's like, yeah, I'm here. I'm sweating. That's how I keep this physique that I have at 63.
Now, I can imagine. I think this is already getting off rails, so let's get this show started.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
You know, you over-talking the promo there. Now people are probably trying to figure out what's going on the BS and Beer Network.
Yeah, right.
Every night.
Yeah. And now they heard this one before. Yeah.
Hey, so Tomas, you have the pick the pick'ems handy because I want to say Home's Cool, I think, came in first place. Now that's the first time I heard. That's a good friend of the show, Keith Watley's wife. So if she's out there listening, I guess she listens with him every once in a while, but she's all excited because she's, you know, whipping up on us. Oh, yeah. Whipping up on us and pick them. Now, my sister, she passed along a message that says she's passed you, Heath, already. She's passed me, and she said, Tomas, she's coming for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, good luck to you.
She could have passed me if she just started this week.
Well, I guess so. If I'm sitting down watching football with Heath, and he looks up at me, I don't know, somewhere about halftime, and says, I didn't put my picks in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't here at the show last, so I never put picks in. So,
they don't
send
you a little reminder?
It does, but you don't
It probably
attention.
Does, yeah.
He got nothing. And then I said, well,
now
you know
want
what?
The overall standings? Don't
well,
you want?
Yeah, do something. I don't know. Make yourself useful.
All right, here's the overall standings. In first place, Jay-Z picks. Second, Who Dat Toot Dat 2018. Third, Scottish Who Dat. Fourth, Clinton Rebel. Fifth, Bill Gluckman. Sixth, Rob 22278. Falling a long way there. JD 265 at seventh. Nola Girl at eight. Javelin at nine. And Lord Boudreaux at 10. But you know who's tied with Lord Boudreaux, Javelin, Nola Girl, JD, 2665?
I can already guess.
Yeah.
You want to guess who's tied with matter of fact, I'm tied with everybody up to first place.
Well, how is that possible?
I don't know how they pick them out, but first of 96,
well, that's all those.
Right?
That's all those who scores the most this week and all the tiebreaker
right.
things.
So you I'm number 11. There, I'd be right there, but I'm 11th of 96, 10th of 90. You know, you look at the numbers. Anyway.
It sounds very confusing. I'm no mathematician.
There are a lot of ties in there is what I'm trying to say to you.
Okay.
Okay. But anyway, there's your top 10 plus one. Okay.
All right.
I'm good to go. Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a lot of people gunning for you.
Well, that's
so,
okay.
Including my sister.
Well, bring them on.
In Texas.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, she's ready.
So by
to go.
The time I decided to put picks in, I had five games left available. I got four out of five. So,
hey
did
you?
Percentage-wise, well, I did great.
80% is good, brother. You're doing great.
Yeah, if they go by percentages, you're going to be way
there
up
there you
on
go.
It.
Excellent.
All right. So anyway, so we got the pick'ems.
Yes,
we don't forget, we have the My Bookie pick'ems in the at the bottom of the second hour.
Don't forget, yep.
You don't want to forget about that.
Yep.
Listen, so much stuff to talk about. We have some young beasts growing up, getting double sacks or two sacks in a single game.
Yeah.
My dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was a lot of exciting stuff going on. This team is just like, and we knew it.
All right.
From the beginning of the season, evolving.
He's getting excited.
And getting better.
Yeah. They have to slow this roll a little bit.
Though.
But I'm telling you, it's the way they're winning. It's getting me excited because that's the type of football you can win on the road. You can win in the playoffs. You can win when it's cold. When they go in the dome,
I agree.
This week on Sunday when they play in the Rams, I guarantee you, you're going to see a whole different team. It's going to be I would almost guarantee you that you'll see a Saints team that's going to score a lot more points and move the ball down the field. And it's going to be a different type of football game and a different type of football that the Saints are going to play out of necessity so they can win in multiple ways. And to me, that's what's most exciting. They're no longer a team that, well, man, if you shut down Drew Brees, this is just something that I just like the direction of the team and I like the way they're finding multiple ways of winning. And when we come back, We're going to start. We're going to hit the good, the bad, and ugly. We got John Hendricks coming a little bit later. Don't go anywhere. It's the BS and Beer Podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, fellas, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. Visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget, you play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. We're talking wall-to-wall Saints. Here we go. Let's jump into it, because as soon as we went to break, he starts talking. That's what he does. He waits till the mics
That's
are
right,
off.
Man. Yeah.
Listen.
Trying to do my best thinking.
So I'm talking about how I like how the Saints are playing. He said he read some articles about how well the defense is playing, and then he said...
Well, I said, you know, I slow the roll a little bit. I'm all right with getting excited and everything and having some optimism. You know, I'm a positive, optimistic
that's right.
guy.
That's you.
Uses optimism.
I'm sorry. I can't even say that with a straight. All right. But anyway, you know, we got some sacks this week, and that's great. But they, you know, team had, you know, what, half of it missing, out injured or whatever.
I think
so,
three-fifths of their offensive line was out.
Was out. And so, you know, again, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Saints. I'm saying don't get too – let's just slow it down a little bit.
So I got a little
cautious
too excited.
Cautious optimism.
I got a little too excited, and Heath wanted to slow the roll down. And listen, I do agree with you. I mean –
backfield still got serious problems as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. We did go up against one of the best receiving corps in the league. And a guy in Kirk Cousins, who was the leading passer. I mean, you got to give him credit, or do you take away from the same? Give him credit because he was the best. He had the most yards in the league on
well,
Sunday.
Well, he's had a history of tearing the Saints up. Yeah, you know, so.
But seriously, I mean, that is an outstanding receiving core. And so sometimes I think maybe you have to give, you know, some credit that the other team is pretty good and the matchups just aren't in your favor. Having said that, try to be realistic. I am not one who thought that P.J. Williams had a good game and trying to justify it. If I'm going to give you some positives, I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to let y'all pick it apart. There were several times where P.J. Williams had very good coverage. One of them on Thielen when Thielen went over and, you know, caught the ball over his back or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a unbelievable play. But then, you know, he gave up, I think, 104 yards. In the second half, he only gave up, although one of them was a touchdown, he only gave up two passes. Mm-hmm. So did the Saints make some adjustments, do some things a little bit different to try to adjust? And that's the thing you have to take into consideration, man. You try something and, man, it's not working. They obviously made some adjustments, and then for whatever reason, you didn't really hear P.J. Williams' name, or they didn't go after him as much.
Yeah. And in fairness to P.J., he was involved in or directly was responsible for the two biggest plays in the game.
Okay.
So,
and I agree with that.
I don't think I've ever seen somebody have such a boom and bust game all at the same time.
Yeah.
He was
either horrible Tomas or he was making huge game-changing plays. What was it? We were down by three, was it? They were marching down the field right before halftime. They get the ball in the second half. So if they score there, they're adding points, and they get the ball back. P.J. Williams and the guy who's getting a lot of criticism right now, Anzalone, make a huge play and put us in position to score right before half and put us up going into halftime.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I know you want me to say something, so I'm going to say something.
He's not the best in the business for nothing, folks.
Since you brought up this cornerback business, right? Now, look, I understand Heath is saying, you know, slow your roll because of who we play, what they miss. Well, hold on a second, man. It's not like we got all starters in there. We lost our starting slot guy. Gone for the season.
True story.
Okay. Our starting defensive back that everybody ran out of town, basically, Crawley. He's gone. You bring in a guy who's only had, what, three practices? And you can't, I don't care if he's, Deion Sanders. He's not going to come in on three practices and know the entire playbook on defense. So when you tell me, well, we weren't playing really the real, look, next man up, you know, I'm certain that some of the guys on Minnesota's team who are second string, quote unquote, will be starters on other teams. So, you know, I'm only going to slow my roll in as far as this. Each game is a new game. Each game we can lose by 50 or we can win by 50. It depends on what defense shows up and what offense shows up. Just that simple. Did we have a good game plan for this game? I think so. Matter of fact, I think because Eli Apple was thrown in there, I think that our defensive coordinator had no choice but to simplify the defensive game plan. Because no way Eli Apple understood the 10 different kinds of zones that we have going back there. Matter of fact, a couple of times he didn't know what was going on.
You could tell. There were times where they were literally like waving them. No,
exactly.
Go over there. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So the few zones that they did call was simply because they had to, but was on the field. But really, he didn't know what was going on.
No, there were times, you know? And I made this point, I think, to Heath, and I said, look, I'm trying to find a way to defend P.J. Williams. But having said that, one of the advantages a defense will have is by mixing in the different types of coverages and trying to confuse the offense at least.
Right, which they couldn't really do.
And they couldn't because it seemed like the reason they were going after PJ is because they were in so much man. And, again, I'm not trying to defend PJ. I still think he has a lot to prove. Having said that, look, if they know, listen, everybody's going man across the board. We're just going to go at the guy that we look at and think is the best matchup. And which is Thielen, who right now is – I don't necessarily agree with that. I think he's a very good receiver. But right now, people are talking about him as the best receiver in the league. Either way, you're talking about an outstanding receiver going up against your backup slot guy, and they were picking on him, and they were being successful.
Who's never been known for or really played well in the slot before ever anyway.
Right. And I think one of the things, at least from what I saw and looking at the replays, many of them as much as I could look at, it seemed to me that Lattimore just stayed put on one side of the field. He didn't move across. It was Eli Apple and PJ that were moving with their whoever they had picked on. Whoever came to the right, whoever came to the slot, you know, whichever way it happened. So a lot of times, at the beginning of the setup, PJ was actually on the outside. And then when his man went in motion, suddenly he became the slot guy. And so now he's on the slot. So there was a lot of things going on that way for Minnesota. You got to give Minnesota its due. They were calling a pretty good game plan. You know, knowing that Apple had just come in, you know? So, but I have to tell you, after thinking it all through, because I was kind of upset that night with a lot of different things, but after watching again and thinking things through, here's what I got to say to you. If they pick on peanut butter jelly and they make 10 completions against him, but then he gets an interception for a touchdown and a fumble recovery, bring it on. I'm good for that for every game.
Yeah, I think
I'm good for that for every game. You can toast him 10 times. I'm fine.
I think everyone would agree with that. The problem is that the chances of that happening again.
Well, but again, I'm going to say this to you. What are the chances of us playing against another team that has two wide receivers that run incredibly crisp routes and run every route in a tree with
top
accuracy
NFL
and
receivers.
Speed?
Well, the chances are maybe this weekend.
No. I don't think so. I'm not as scared of the Rams as I am of Pittsburgh. I'm more concerned about playing Pittsburgh because I think Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown are that kind of receiver.
I agree with that as well.
I don't think the Rams have that kind of receivers. They're good, but they're not. They don't make cuts like Thielen and
Diggs
did.
Right.
Okay. And I don't think they make cuts like Antonio Brown and Juju Smith make. So it's a different kind of setup. I'm not saying that they don't have talent. Don't get me wrong.
No, I understand. You just feel like they're more explosive.
Right. It's a different kind of route running.
Sure.
Okay. So to me, again, another extra week for Eli Apple. Maybe he learns a couple of the zones better. We can play a few more zones. You know. So I think that overall, if you know, grading the defensive backfield, I thought they played pretty well, all things considered, you know, based on what they have. And I'm not going to give any sympathy to Minnesota. Their starting center got eaten up like a Girl Scout cookie during that game. Well, okay.
Sheldon Rankin.
And that's a starting guy.
Right.
All right. So don't tell me that, you know, oh, well, they all have it. No. Sorry. You know. And you have an experienced quarterback. It's a guy who can get rid of it in less than 2 seconds. So, I have no sympathy for these people.
No, and you know what? You know? Nobody ever gives the Saints sympathy. Last year, I think when
we played against Minnesota, we had 20 people on IR.
Yeah, so I tell you what, seems like a good time to get right into the good, bad, and ugly.
All right, go ahead.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
All right. So, Heath, have you been giving us some thought, or should I just start
with... I have
with,
not.
All right. I'm going to start with you, Tomas. Give me your good for this game.
My good for this game. Here it is. Ready? Pretty obvious, I think.
All right.
Offensive line.
Yeah.
Because Drew Brees, you know, when they talk about, you know, okay, you can say, well, you know, Minnesota's offensive line was banged up. Their defensive line wasn't. They got back the guy who they say is the heart of their defensive team. No. How many times did Drew get sacked?
Danielle Hunter and Griffin, two of the best pass rushers. What a great combination. And our tackles between Armstead and Ramczyk, you talking about.
Two best offensive tackles in the league.
At least the best combo. You know, whether they're 1-2.
No doubt on me. Yeah. No doubt about me. 1-2, the best combo, as you say. The best pairing of offensive tackles in the NFL, in my opinion.
And then to not mention, you know, Warford and Unger. And, you know, Pete's been in and out with some injuries. But to not mention those, I mean, our offensive line is outstanding. And I think we're seeing something from the Saints that I just don't think we've seen. I don't know. We'd have to go back maybe to the Dome Patrol era, which is we're controlling the line of scrimmage with our offensive line. And our front seven. I mean, we are playing.
And now you just hit the nail on the head. To win consistently in the NFL, you have to have a number of pieces in the puzzle. But it all comes back to what? Offensive line and defensive line. If your offensive line can keep them out and your defensive line can put pressure on them, you have a hell of a good chance of winning this game, any game against any team.
Matter of fact, there was a time in the game, do you remember, the Vikings got down to the like the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
And they tried to run a quarterback sneak.
And no, did they?
Yeah. I mean, they lost like a half a yard on the play. It's like you don't see that. Now, again, keep in mind.
Unless you're Eli Manning and the Giants.
Well, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story. Those guys are having a fire sale as well. I don't know. That's a whole nother show.
So is Green Bay, unbelievably, but go ahead.
Well, okay. Heath, you have a good now?
Yeah, well, excuse me. I'm going to give my good to the kicking game.
The kicking game.
As a whole.
Yeah.
Lutz has, you know, he's certainly one of the top few kickers in the league.
Vinatieri,
I mean, this guy's putting them dead. Huh?
Vinatieri, too.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Vinatieri. You know, he just scored.
Vinatieri. He
broke the record that Morton Anderson
had. Oh, that's right. Okay. I knew you were trying to be funny. I just didn't know which way. I'm like, but.
And then while Legatron didn't have a whole lot to do yesterday, he had that punt that he set down perfectly to be downed. What was it? The 1 yard line or 2 yard line? Whatever it was.
Inside the 3 yard line.
So we have perhaps the best kicking combination in the league.
I mean, you know what? There you go. Best offensive tackle combination.
Best kicking combination.
Best kicking. Yeah.
All right. So what's your combination?
All right. So my
come on
I'm gonna go with.
Really?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I'm giving it to peanut butter and jelly.
Wow.
No, peanut butter and jelly, man.
On, this seems off. This seems awfully self-serving, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does to me. Absolutely.
Hey, man, listen. That play, the man picked six, and there was a point in the game we were up by 10, and I turned to Heath and I said, you know, if we don't return that ball for a touchdown, we are only up by 3, and they have the ball. And all of a sudden, a completely different complexion. The game. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to give credit because usually I can't remember who says stuff. I read so much stuff and watch so much stuff. But what's his name? Deuce Willingham?
Wyndham.
Wyndham? What is it?
Wyndham.
Okay. He says,
PJ Williams has more touchdowns than Julio Jones. And I thought I fell out laughing. That was good. Yeah. That was good stuff right there.
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean,
but that's not a combination, brother. We will work in combination.
All right. So Anzalone and PJ Williams.
Oh, there you go.
Man.
Combined.
That's sad.
You know, sometimes
we have the best one linebacker and one cornerback combo.
I thought you'd go with the running backs because, you know, Mark Ingram actually showed up.
Mark Ingram, man, listen, he didn't have a lot of yards. But
at the end of the game,
63 yards,
pounding them out.
Yeah, but he was responsible for that eight minute drive or whatever.
4.8 yards per carry. That's the key.
And when he came to that outside and he stopped for a second, he said, I'm just gonna plow over this guy.
I love that.
Yeah. Well,
wasn't that a reception?
Great play.
Yeah. Wasn't that a reception?
I think so. He just kind of stopped.
He caught the ball and he looked and he said, I'm not going out of bounds.
He just looked at that cornerback.
Yeah. It's like he even sized him up for a second. Just looked at him and he kind of
squared himself up. He looked at him and then he just put his head down.
That's a play.
Put his head in his chest.
That's the marking I want to see.
But the only thing he didn't do is he didn't tap his foot on the ground a couple times like a bull, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, there you go. So there's the good.
The good.
I think that we're gonna leave the bad ugly for segment four after John Hendricks comes in and talks to us. So look, a couple other things. I felt like, okay, now here's some criticism for a guy that I'm gonna catch some criticism. But Kamara, I've been noticing, man, he is not a natural catcher of the ball. I mean, I'm not saying he can't catch. He catches. He makes some spectacular catches. But golly, he drops a lot of easy passes. We had a first down that, man, just an easy catch the ball, turn
you
around.
You have no idea
field.
What you're talking about.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's called concentration.
Okay.
It's not that he can't catch it. It's not that he's natural. Think back to last year. So many times he caught passes that other people would have dropped because he had real concentration. I think this year, that's the edge that he's lost. I think he doesn't have the same kind of concentration, but it's for another reason, which I will tell you later when we come back.
All right. Well, as long as you tell us later.
Yes.
97.7 and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coonass.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast. It's time for our weekly spot, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, a big win, 30-20, the New Orleans Saints pick up their second consecutive road victory against, I know, a bit banged up, but still a very good Vikings team.
Yeah, look, I think you got to be happy about what you saw. I mean, that's two straight weeks that you're on the road and two big road wins, and now this team has won four games on the road. You got to factor in the Giants and the Falcons. So when you're perfect on the road in the NFL, which is something hard to come by, I mean, you got to be appreciative. It doesn't matter how the chips fall because, you know, in years past, the Saints have been, you know, pretty dismal, abysmal on the road. But, look, great win. I think that they went in there, played some good smash-mouth football, and showed that they were a real physical team and they wanted it more.
Well, and that's the thing we talked about last week playing the Ravens, is the Ravens are a smash-mouth team. They're the guys that try to be the bully, play tough defense, run the ball down your throat, and the Saints play better bully ball than the Ravens did. Now, you fast forward to this past Sunday, and the Saints did the same thing. I mean, are we seeing now? Okay, I don't want to act like this is completely new because we ran the ball with authority last year. But all of a sudden, are the Saints, like, have they found an identity? Because, okay, listen, we know they can still throw the ball. But if push comes to shove, are the Saints now a power football team?
I don't know if we'd say power football team. I think that there's a lot of people in that room that are just really just determined, right? And I think that they've got the right mentality, the right focus, the right makeup. And look, I mean, the thing is, I don't think they're a team that's letting all the noise and all the mistakes get to them. And what I mean by that is the defense getting torched early. They're making the adjustments. They're getting after it. They're giving all their effort, you know, as opposed to some teams, some players, they just give up on plays. And, you know, this team is keeps churning. It's just like a steam engine or one of those engines where you just have to constantly feed it and it gets better as it goes along. And look, give this team a lot of credit that they came back from being 17-7 down and kind of what they were with the Ravens. You know, they dare I say, become a better second half team this year than what we've seen in the past.
And I think, John, you find that at times you watch the first half, you watch early in games, especially on the road, you have to kind of get past that high energy, the crowd, the amped up opponent, you know, that's playing at home. And then once you let that emotion, that wave of emotion and energy kind of pass over, if you're still within striking distance, which the Saints have been, then all of a sudden the better team starts taking over. And one of the things that when I say smash mouth, I'm looking at like the Saints offensive line and the Saints defensive line. I'm seeing improvement on the defensive line. And I got to ask you, do you think that Ramczyk and Armstead are two tackles on offense, maybe the best pair of tackles in the league?
Well, I think you certainly have to get them in the equation. I mean, because, you know, look, I was seeing Ramczyk holding his own against Danielle Hunter. And, you know, I mean, even Everson Griffin coming in, yeah, he makes some of the impact. And, you know, they make the one real big play that forces the first Drew Brees interception. But, look, I mean, Armstead being healthy has been an absolute godsend for this team so far, and I mean, you know, you just see the difference, and he's feeling it. He's showing more reminiscent about what he's been, and that he can look like he goes the distance, and 100% one of the best left tackles in the league. And I think they really do. Their left and right tackle situation is one of the tops in the NFL. I really feel that whether they do screen plays or whether it's just protecting Drew Brees, keeping him upright, there's a lot to really admire there. And look, I don't know offhand if you can go back through, you know, past couple decades and say, hey, I think there's been a better tackle duo that the Saints have had, because Armstead and Ramczyk have just been fantastic for this team.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't want to exclude the play of Unger, Warford, and, you know, Pete's been a little bit in and out, but the offensive line in general, just an absolute strength for the team. And I mean, it's an adage that goes way back. You win and lose ball games in the trenches. I don't care how good your quarterback is or your skill position. All those things are important, yes, but without a good offensive defensive line, that's where everything starts. Now, moving on to the defensive backfield. Last week we made a fourth round draft pick, but what seemed to be a huge trade, not only for the fact that we picked up a cornerback, but kind of the implications. You take a guy who was a starter last year who seemed to grade out very well in Ken Crawley, and you kind of move him to the inactive list, and then here comes Eli Apple. He didn't have a great game. He gave up, I believe, 5 passes for about 70 yards, but it wasn't a bad game. And it was his first game. Give me your idea or your impression of his first game in a Saints uniform.
Well, look, I thought it was fine. You know, he was getting beat on a few things, and look, you throw somebody like that, you're going to expect a few things like that to happen. You know, I pointed out that he led the Saints in tackles. He had 9 of them, and a lot of people were quick would be like, well, yeah, balls are caught in front of him, all this other right. stuff. But, you know, the thing is, when you look at the cornerback situation, if he would have missed any of those tackles, or if he wouldn't have been able to do that, then suddenly you're having a different conversation, right? And then he was able to do some stuff and run support. And, I mean, it's just a different dynamic. So, overall, I don't think it was a great game. I don't know if I'd say it was a good game, but I'd say it was decent, serviceable. And, you know, obviously, P.J. Williams might have been somewhat scapegoat of this game, but, you know, give him credit because they were able to do what they needed to do, and I think Apple's only going to get better from here.
Well,
it's got to feel good for him to just win a game.
I agree. Yeah, he has more wins, or at least an equal amount of wins in one game with the Saints than he had with the first half of the season with the Giants. Williams, P.J. Williams, struggled. Now, I want to, in a way, I want to defend him a little bit, and I've always been kind of a defender of P.J. Williams, and that's soured here lately in the last few games. But the thing about it is I feel like he still has his confidence, which is important for a corner. The other thing is, okay, and I've read it all, I've heard it all, he doesn't get his head around. But, man, the guy, it's not like he's being lost where he's 5, 7, 12 yards behind the receiver. He's actually been in a position to make plays. There was one where Thielen literally jumped up and caught the ball over his head. So, and there were other plays where he was right there but just not quite making the play. I just don't know. And at some point, I wonder if fans don't expect perfection. And boy, I'm sitting here arguing with myself, John, because there are times where he does things good, but at the other hand, you know, we're not seeing perfection. So give us a little bit more feedback on what you think about P.J. Williams. Is he going to have a chance to improve?
I would would say so, you know, but I guess my whole thing is for fans, think about it for a second. If Patrick Robinson is the guy that's in the slot right there, are you going to get the same results, somewhat similar results, or better results? I mean, you know, I guess that's the way I would pose it. I think there's some plays that, you know, Williams just couldn't do much of anything, but then there's plays where he's, you know, getting burned or he's just not with it, and you wonder where's the safety help over the top, where's a lot of the things and missing elements, and, you know, you have to go back and watch the film and kind of check and see where's everything at. And Williams is the first to admit what I really like, that he didn't have a good game, he's only going to get better, which is great, and that's a good thing to see him be in on that fumble that Anzalone forced that kind of changes the landscape of this game, and he gets a pick six. I mean, it's fitting, and you like to see things like that happen for the Saints defense, and look, they're going to rally around him to make it happen. And but, you know, the thing with Crawley being out, you know, he didn't offer too much on the way of special teams. Williams does, and it's not just in the slot corner play. But, look, I think they're going to try to look at somebody maybe before the deadline if they can get somebody, just to maybe see if it's possible to improve their slot. But, look, Williams is going to be one of those maddening cases that you'll have to deal with, and he might be great and he might be bad, but he's no Corey White or Jason David, so be thankful for that.
Right, and if you also take in consideration that the Vikings have an outstanding receiving core, you know, you're gonna give up plays. And so we just hope. Now, here's one of the things, too. We talked about going in it with Eli Apple not having a lot of experience, and you don't want to get into communication issues. So I think the Saints were a little predictable defensively. And what I mean by that is they played a lot more man-type stuff, it seemed like. And now, look, if we break it down, maybe I might be a little off, but it seemed that way. And it makes it difficult if you know that a guy exactly what he's going to be doing. It makes it easier to attack him. So what I'm thinking is, as Eli Apple becomes more acclimated, the Saints can mix up those defenses, the strategy, the calls, and at least try to keep the offense off balance a little bit. So I'm kind of thinking that hopefully we'll see some improvement, because in the second half he only gave up two passes. Now, having said that, one of them was a touchdown, but he didn't get work the way he did in the first half. Now, let's move on a little bit quickly here to the Rams. The Rams get a break playing the Packers at home. The Packers fumble the kickoff with about 2 minutes left, in a position to go down the field and win the game. John, I feel like the Rams, you know, they got off the hook. But here's the thing: do you want the Rams to come into the Dome this Sunday and off a loss or off a win?
Well, I guess you could say coming off a win. I mean, it's just one of those things that when it's going your way, it's going your way, right? You know what I like to see is the Green Bay had really found a formula defensively that worked for them, right? And yeah, I get they didn't have Cooper Kupp, and Cooper Kupp might be in the mix for them Sunday, but look, now you're in an opportunity right now, because I think we discussed this last week, but you know, if they could just at least split between the Vikings and Rams, they'd be really good position. But now they're in a position where they could really win this game at home. And I think in order for them to be taken seriously in the NFC, this is a wonderful opportunity to do so against the Rams. And I thought that when you look at the grand scheme of the playoffs, talking about two teams that might be fighting out for home field advantage, so you really want to bring your A game. And look, I think there's a certain chip you have on your shoulder when somebody that's undefeated comes into your building and you have this opportunity in front of you to give them their first loss of the season. So I think it worked out well for the Saints team.
Yeah, I one way or another, this game, it's like, you know, you go into a lot of games and you're thinking to yourself, man, the Saints should win this game. The Vikings game, I was a little nervous about it, but I felt like, especially with the injuries, the Saints could win this game. The Rams game, it's going to come down to it's just who turns the, you know, the old cliches, who turns the ball over, who makes that big play, who gets the ball last, because this is just not a game where it's, you know, any team has the advantage per se over the other. Give me a quick score prediction on there, John.
Oh, man, I tell you, I don't know if it's going to be high scoring. I think it'll be, I would say, 28-24 Saints.
Okay. Hey, it's John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. You can find him on Twitter at John J. Hendricks. Look him up. It's always a good read. John, as usual, thank you so much for joining us this week, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, bud. Take care.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
BS and Beer, a national institution since... it's a really cool show. Dogs.
1,000 crunches. Hey, welcome back. 97.7 and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio on the heels of a huge 30-20 victory. Matter of fact, I'd even argue that one of those touchdowns Minnesota had was kind of a garbage touchdown. I don't think the Saints were – I think the Saints were kind of, you know, letting them run the clock out later in the game, had things under control. I'm not even giving those credit. For the matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and adjust all these stats right now.
Yeah.
And 30-13. Minnesota only had 13 points. One of the things that I did notice, the Saints were outgained 433 to 270 yards.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably because the Saints knew they had it, you know, the defense. I don't know.
I
don't know how to make an argument about those stats right there.
No,
defend it.
No, I have something to tell you about that.
The thing I was surprised about was that I remember looking at you and saying, man, the Saints have to own, I mean, seriously own time of possession this game. It turned out we didn't. Minnesota had that as well.
Man, I didn't.
Seems surprising to me, especially considering the 8-plus minute drive and all this other stuff. I really felt like the Saints controlled the game from a time of possession standpoint.
I felt like the Saints controlled the game. Like, early in the game, Minnesota did seem to be moving the ball quite a bit, and it was a little uncomfortable. But it seemed like the Saints tightened down as the game went on. And I kept saying, and I meant it, it's like, man, you go into a hostile environment, the crowd is fired up, the team, the players are fired up, the energy is high, you kind of have to weather the storm. Come midway through the second quarter, then, you know, things start settling in, as long as you don't sit there and let them bash you till you're down 14-3 in the middle of the second quarter. And then, you know, then you start, the better team start. How many times do you see it? The Patriots come to town playing somebody who's not very good, and they kind of get their butt whooped for the first quarter and a half, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here we go.
Right.
So I'm going to say something about statistics. Vince Lombardi said statistics are for losers.
Yeah, but they fill in a lot of time on this show.
Well, okay. You want to eat up dead air time? I have plenty of stuff to say. I have a big mouth. But here's what I'm going to say to you. Against the Ravens, we had a long drive. Because we started way back on our part of the field. Then we had another long drive. Why? Started way back on our side of the field. Now, how many times did we start on the 10-yard line? None. How many times did we start on the 40 to 50? You think about it. If you started midfield, you're not going to have 400 yards.
Right. No, you're right. And not to mention, we had two huge turnovers that got us the ball. Well, I'd say one of them.
One of them were way down there, right? We only had like
15. Well, we got the penalty, and then it was about 15 yards, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, yeah, but still, we're.
You're right. It's hard to accumulate a lot of yards or time of possession
when
if you're working with a short field.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. So I think that's why the statistics can be a little bit deceiving, because, like I said, think about when we did the Ravens. We were all like, wow, that's really amazing. You know, they took all that time coming down the field. I mean, it really wore out the Ravens' defense. Yeah, but we didn't have to do that in this game, right? In this game, we're like, hey, look, we're already in field goal range. And I haven't done anything, and we're in field goal range. Ah, let's just take it easy. Let's not make any mistakes and just work. Oh, there we go. Oh, we went. That's why I think the statistics will be a little bit off. Same thing. Why didn't Drew pass for 400 yards? Because we didn't start down by our own end zone.
And you know
we didn't have to. Now, I also think, because when you looked at it, there wasn't a lot of – where was Austin Carr? Nowhere to be found. Where was Cam Meredith? Nowhere to be found. So I think the game plan was different. And so I think the game plan was one that, you know what, even if we don't make a first down, we're just going to keep running the ball with Kamara. We're going to keep running the ball with, or we're going to, you know, we're going to hit a lot of Mike Thomas if we can. If we can't, yeah, Traquan Smith, a couple of nice catches, okay. But if you expect that game plan, if you expect that offensive game plan against the Rams, you're sadly mistaken. That won't be the offensive game plan against the Rams.
No, I said that a little bit earlier. I expect the Saints to be more of what people expect from the Saints.
Yeah.
When they get inside the Superdome, they have the advantage of the crowd noise and the
and especially because now we have a quarterback who can actually throw the ball 50, 60 yards.
Oh, you!
hey, I'm just saying, you know,
we're gonna have our real deal Taysom Hill
still on.
And by the way,
segment.
Who was it amongst the three of us here who said? Don't be surprised if they have three quarterbacks in the game at the same time.
Okay,
and
I forgot about that.
Full of crap.
I didn't say that on the radio.
I'm just saying.
But you know what? He did say that. He did say that. I kind of like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was only one play. I feel like they just want to give Bridgewater, like, you know, give him a bone, throw him a bone.
No, no, no. They want to screw with defensive coordinators. Because now they got to say, well, that wasn't successful. But wait a second. When they have all three, what else could he do from that?
Yeah.
You know, could possibly Taysom Hill, you know, spread out, Breeze be in the middle, and Bridgewater side. Bridgewater drops back, so now it's a lateral.
That's what I was actually
Bridgewater,
expecting when I
and
saw it.
Cutting across the field, here comes Mr. Speed, right, the Swiss Army blade. Boom! Yeah. Look, you just have to think. Remember, Peyton's kind of crazy about design and play.
Yeah.
And he loves Taysom Hill. I'm telling you, man. Just look for it.
Well, we'll talk a little more about that later.
Oh, we have a Heath rant coming?
Well, okay.
All right. So one of the things that the Saints, four sacks on a day, I thought that, listen, Davenport, I mean, what
he's
I
no
saw
good.
From him.
He's not worth two first-round draft choices.
He came out and, okay, so I literally, when he had the sack strip that, you know, ended up not being a strip.
Yes.
As soon as the quarterback broke containment, I thought to myself, if Davenport's on the end, he's gonna run him down. And sure enough, just like a bullet out of a gun, Davenport, he held the edge, took off, grabbed him. And this was the thing. It wasn't just like, oh, he slapped the ball out. He consciously grabs him and says, give me that ball.
Yeah.
And he rips it from him. Because, again, I want to go back to the several interviews that I witnessed or – heard on the radio, including like 2 weeks ago, he was on WWL.
Right.
And he's just like, oh, you know, nice, I'm trying to learn guitar and, you know, and I like poetry. And then, but I saw this nasty side of him that was like, give me that ball, it's mine. And that I love because you just saw a mean, nasty streak in him when he just, I mean, it's like he just beat up an old lady and took her purse while she's laying on the ground trying to hold on. He's like, give him right here.
Yep.
You know, and you like to see that on the field.
Yeah.
And know that when he goes home, he's going to learn his poetry and guitar. Yeah. And you're not going to have to worry about him being like the Jaguars when they go to England and run up a $60,000 bill and walk out on it.
Dude, what the four guys, what the hell were they drinking to rank? You know, I mean,
that's what I said.
Just Cristal a bottle, you know?
I don't know. I assume they were. I assume they were in a club making it rain somewhere. You know,
that's what I'm thinking.
On credit? I mean, on credit? Like, just bring me 10 grand.
You know who I am. Bring him a marker there.
When they said that, I was like, four guys? Dude, I mean, you'd have to be drinking some. Well, you know, I like to have that Petrus. Yeah, that 1989 Petrus. What's that? $15,000 for a bottle? Bring me two.
Yeah, bring me two bottles.
I mean, you know.
You're drinking a bunch of shots of Pappy Van Winkle or something. This stuff is $600 a shot or whatever it is.
I mean, even that.
And maybe,
long way to go
maybe
for
I'm not enough
grand.
Of a connoisseur. You would know. That's what I'm saying. How do you run up $60,000?
I have no idea.
I mean, bring me the most. How many shots can you drink, especially you got a ball game tomorrow?
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I know they're not going to drink high-end wine because high-end wine will go into the sky. Their bottles of wine are $20,000 a bottle.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're not connoisseurs of wine. They're not going to be drinking that. So the only thing I can imagine we're drinking, like, you know, Cristal is expensive. It's the champagne that's expensive. Oh, let's order some Cristal.
Yeah.
Okay. Or like you know, maybe some Pappy. Or you know that in England, my brother said that he drank some Japanese scotch.
Oh.
That was like $700-$800 a shot.
Seems like a serious
you know.
Oxymoron.
So they have that in London. So maybe they were, you know. But again, it's like Dave was saying. Dude, you got a ball game coming up.
Yeah.
There's no way you're hitting that bottle like that.
No. Whatever it was a waste of money. That's what I got to say.
Yeah, damn sure.
Absolutely. I could have just, I would have faked it, brought him some well, and kept the change. I mean, anyway, so four sacks, nine hits. Davenport has his first multiple sack game of his career.
There you go.
He's sitting at four, which I was a little bit surprised / disappointed because I thought he was at three already. But, man, listen, what are we, seven games into the season?
Yeah. You talking about? And he's playing half the snaps.
Yeah, and he's not
even that much.
Yeah, much.
Absolutely. Yeah. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two, a Tomas rant. We got an NFC South report, the pick'ems, all that stuff.
Please
don't go anywhere.
And just sit here for a while.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David.
podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Ooh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.